Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, the podcast where it's all O's all the time. Locked On Orioles is going to give you unrivaled coverage of the birds. We're going to break down the latest news and give you expert analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. I'm Justin McGuire, and I'm your host. Just to tell you a little something about myself, I'm the former Major League Baseball editor for Sporting News. I'm a former Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter. I host a podcast called Baseball by the Book, which you should definitely check out. And I'm a lifelong Orioles fan. We're joined today by Kyle J. Andrews. He's an Orioles beat reporter for 1340 AM Fox Sports in Baltimore. We're going to talk about Kevin Gausman and how important he is to the Orioles' success this season. We're also going to take a look at the Orioles' spring training so far. We'll get to that in just a minute. First, I just want to mention, we are now on Apple Podcasts. So please go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe to the podcast, and leave us a rating and a review. And I can't emphasize how important that last part is. Every rating and review we get helps us increase our visibility on Apple Podcasts, and that's going to help us increase our audience. And if we're going to keep doing this, we're going to need to build an audience. So please go there and do what you can to help the podcast. I also want to let you know that if you're interested in advertising with Locked On Orioles, you can contact us at lockedonorioles@gmail.com. You can also send us ideas for guests and story topics there. You can follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Orioles, and we have a website, lockedonorioles.com. Okay, let's get on with our conversation with Kyle Andrews. Okay, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We're joined now by Kyle Andrews, who's the Orioles beat reporter for 1340 AM Fox Sports in Baltimore. Welcome, Kyle.
Hi, how's it going, Justin?
Very well. Thanks for joining us. You wrote recently about Kevin Gausman and what his season is going to be key to the Orioles' success in 2018. I want to get into that, but first let's just talk about the latest Gausman news out of Monday's spring training game when he was removed early with an injury. It looks like things are looking up, that it's probably not going to be anything real serious, but what do you know about that?
Well, as of right now, it looks like a concussion. Obviously, you know, concussions can be a little bit iffy. Sometimes things, you know, don't go as planned with concussions, so they'll definitely reevaluate him soon. But other than that, that's all I can tell you right now. It looks like it may not be too serious, as you said before, only because he was able to walk off on his own power. So that's good. But like I said before, concussions can be, you know, a scary sight, but they can also be one of those things that you just don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good that they're taking precautions because, you know, you don't want to see him suffering any long-term consequences from this. All right, well, let's just look at how important he's going to be to the Orioles this year, if they're going to have any chance of success. I think everyone listening to this knows that the Orioles' starting rotation is a big issue, and that the only, you know, returning starters they have who are pretty much guaranteed a spot in the rotation are Gausman and Dylan Bundy. Gausman struggled a lot the first half of last year, but he was much better in the second half. Why do you think he showed the improvement over the second half of the season?
Well, one thing that I've definitely seen Gausman do a little bit more that has, you know, given him a little bit more success has been using his splitter. Last season, he got a little bit away from his splitter in the first half of the season, but he picked up his splitter again at the end of the season, you know, and that kind of helped with missing bats, especially when, you know, he has electric slough, but it also doesn't hit the strike zone a lot of times. But at the same time, with that splitter, you don't necessarily need to hit the strike zone. It starts off in the strike zone and drops out. So with him, it was using that splitter a little bit more, going away from his slider, going to a cutter. He's also incorporating a sinker this season, one that he's actually learned from Andrew Cashner, just going back in. He actually threw the sinker before, but he scrapped it for the 2017 season. I'm not entirely sure why he did that, but, you know, in years when he has used the sinker, it's been a little bit more successful for him. Obviously, in 2014 and 2016, the Orioles both went to the playoffs in those 2 years. So Kevin Gausman is going to have to look at those splits that he had with his sinker and using his splitter a little bit more and see how he can become more successful.
So just for people who don't know, what was his pitch repertoire last year? What was he throwing mainly?
Mainly he threw a four-seam fastball, a slider, a splitter, and then also a changeup. But his changeup, he only threw about 17 times. So instead of, you know, being a four-pitch starter, he was more or less a three-pitch starter. And then you also have to take into consideration how poor his slider was. And so that actually made him just a two-pitch pitcher. And, you know, other people have said maybe Kevin Gausman has more closer stuff than he does as a starter. But I beg to differ. It's just pitch selection with Kevin Gausman. I think he can be, you know, a good starter, but it's just all about his pitch selection.
So what do you anticipate for him this year? I've looked at some of the projections from Baseball Prospectus and other places, and they're not particularly high on him. They don't see him being, a real ace or top of the rotation type guy like the Orioles are relying on him being. What are your expectations realistically for Gausman, who's now 27 and presumably, at his peak?
I believe that, you know, this season, it's going to be a season where he actually takes into consideration his splits, because I think sometimes when you're a younger pitcher, you just go out there and pitch without looking at the stats and without going over things. But when you have a manager like Buck Showalter, he'll take you under his wing. He'll be able to, you know, let you look over, you know, all those splits and everything and show you what you're doing wrong and what you're doing right and when you're doing it. So I believe that in this season, he'll have an ERA that hovers around the four mark. I don't think it'll be too far above it or too far below. I think Kevin Gausman, you know, he is what he is at this point. He isn't a bad pitcher per se, but he can be very poor sometimes. Obviously, all pitchers have bad games, but Kevin Gausman, when he has his very bad games, it looks really bad. It's almost like the baseball version of Joe Flacco. Like, sometimes when he looks great, he looks amazing, and then sometimes when he looks bad, he looks horrible. But it's very few in between, you know.
Yeah, it's so true. When he's off, it's just a nightmare for the Orioles, because he's out of the game early. They have to get into the bullpen early. He doesn't have a lot of those games where he, you know, pitches six innings allowing four or five runs, you know. It's like he allows seven in three innings or so, or he works deep. It's like, yeah, like you said, it doesn't seem to be a lot of middle ground with him. And maybe with some maturity and, you know, being more experienced than ever, maybe that will, he'll work out some of that. But certainly the Orioles are going to need him to step up if they're going to do anything this year, which I think a lot of us think they're not going to do much of anything this year. But if they are, they're going to rely on him and Bundy to a large extent, I think. Speaking of the rotation, we've talked about Gausman, and we know Bundy is key. What do you think the rotation is looking like at this point? Do you think Tillman is going to be in it? Do you think they're going to make another move, maybe with somebody like Lance Lynn or Alex Cobb? Or is it just going to be one of the internal candidates filling that last spot?
As of right now, I'd say that Tillman's probably going to be in one of those last two spots. It's unknown which spot he'll be in, because they do still have interest in Cobb, Arrieta, even Lynn as well. I think as of right now, the best fit for the Orioles would be Lynn. He's an innings eater. He has that track record of going out there and, you know, being a solid pitcher, especially if he was the four man in rotation, then that's not a bad issue to have with the Orioles. I mean, they haven't had a pitcher of his caliber, you know, pitching at the back end of the rotation in a very long time. So it's unknown whether or not I would say right now with Nestor Cortez, he looks pretty solid. He's a lefty. Orioles acquired him from the Yankees organization in a Rule 5 draft. They also got Jose Mesa Jr. in addition to, Pedro Arroyo, who is from the Cubs organization. So they have a couple of Rule 5 guys, Mesa and Cortez, who will make some starts in the spring training. Cortez looks like he has the upper hand to get that fifth starter's role. Mike Wright looked pretty solid as well. So between those two, I think the Orioles, if they go in-house, is definitely going to be between Wright or Cortez, unless somebody makes a big push. But I would say if they were smart, they would go and they would try to sign another pitcher from outside of the organization instead of banking on an unproven talent.
And of course, if they were smart is the key question all along. And I think the answer to that is never quite clear because a lot of times they don't do this, what seems like the smart thing. But we'll see what happens with that. So we touched on this a little bit, but I believe they've played as we record this, they've played 4 spring training games, and I believe they're 0-4 so far. Now, obviously, you can't put too much on spring training games, particularly these early games when the people who are going to be the starters for the team barely play. But certainly, you can't be encouraged by a team that we're kind of have fairly low expectations for anyway. We can't be too encouraged by a start like this. What have you seen so far out of the Orioles? What are there areas to be concerned about, or is it just, like I said, just it's early spring training games? You can't put too much on it.
Well, I would just not put too much on it because, I mean, if Orioles fans remember 2 years ago, the Orioles had a situation in which they went back to the playoffs and they actually started spring training with a winless streak. So it's not necessarily the worst situation to be in. These games don't count. But at the same time, as an Orioles fan, many fans want to see that team be successful. So even in the games that don't necessarily count, but some of these games do count for the guys that want to make the team and want to make an impression on the team. So I would look at those things a little bit more, these unproven guys that are down in the minors. The Orioles had a couple of guys that pitched today that haven't necessarily seen a lot of time against, major league talent. So this is a good opportunity for them. And if they can capitalize on that opportunity and make it to the majors or even be guys that provide depth for the team, that'll be a good situation for them to have. But like I said before, I wouldn't take too much stock into the spring training unless it's, injuries like in Gausman's situation.
Right. So what are your thoughts on – I had a discussion in the last podcast. I had a discussion about the Orioles' top 10 prospects. And of course, we mentioned a couple of guys who could be who could actually be contributors in 2018. So, what do you think, like Austin Hayes and Chance Sisko in particular? What do you think their chances are of sticking with the club out of Sarasota?
I think that Chance Sisko will stick with the club. Honestly, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised with the Orioles to see them actually carry 3 catchers. I know that's not the most ideal situation, but Sisko's bat is it's major league ready as of right now. The only thing that's not major league ready is his catching ability. He's not as refined of a catcher as Austin Wins is. And Austin Wins, he could provide the secondary role as the backup catcher. And then sometimes you can rotate Sisko, Joseph, and Wins at catcher. But Wins looks like, defensively, the more – I guess, ready catcher for the Orioles. But Austin Hayes, I think that the Orioles are pushing to sign another player that, will make starts in left field. They always wanted a left-handed hitter right field hitter. So you got a guy like Colby Rasmus, who the Orioles signed, that will probably compete for that starting role, even though he was signed on a minor league deal. I just think that the Orioles will let Hayes and Rasmus battle it out, and then they'll see what happens with that. Until then, we just don't know. But I think Sisko, he has the inside track on making the team. Hayes will probably – he'll definitely be up as the season goes on. I think he's just too good of a hitter to stay down in the minors.
And finally, let me just ask you about this. I mean, we all know about the situation with Manny Machado. He's a free agent after this year, and literally nobody thinks he's going to be back in Baltimore. Adam Jones is a free agent. Buck Showalter and Dan Duquette, both their contracts are up. So let me just ask you just quickly on those last three, Adam Jones, Buck Showalter, and Dan Duquette, 3 guys who have been very key to this team for the last 5 or 6 years. Do you think any of them will be back with the Orioles in 2019?
I think that Buck and Jones will most likely become, they'll return. I just think that Jones, he means too much to the organization. You know, he wants to win here, but at the same time, you know, he has to, yeah, I mean, he may have to take a pay cut to stay as well, only because he's aging. But I just think he loves Baltimore a lot. Obviously, he said in a couple weeks ago, he had some comments where he said that, you know, it's more about him than the fans when it comes to, you know, winning. And that is true. I mean, you have to do what's best for you. But at the same time, I think deep down, he loves Baltimore. That's where he wants to stay. As for Buck, I just don't think it would be a smart move for the Orioles to move on from Buck. It's just not a good idea. He's put them in a position to win. It's just that in certain situations, you know, the bats have gone cold. Obviously, you had a couple years ago in 2014 where the bats just went dead. Same thing in 2016. That causes issues sometimes, but it's not on Buck. And then sometimes you just have the way the roster is constructed. It just is not conducive to, you know, being a complete team. And I feel like with that being said, especially with Dan Duquette almost departing for the Toronto Blue Jays a couple seasons ago, that kind of has soured people in the organization as well.
So, yeah, I think there's a lot of speculation among Orioles fans that maybe Brady Anderson is going to be the next GM or, you know, equivalent of GM. I think is technically Duquette is like executive vice president of baseball relations or something like that. So do you think Brady Anderson is likely to step into that role if Duquette moves on?
I definitely wouldn't be surprised because Brady Anderson has taken a hands-on approach when it comes to getting players to return. If people are familiar with the Tillman situation, Tillman, when he's been a free agent for a while this offseason, and then, you know, Brady Anderson had been checking in on him almost as much as possible, and then he was able to return to the Orioles because, you know, Brady Anderson kept that line of contact open. I mean, it's also easy to do when you have a guy that's been in the organization so long. For both players, and then not only that, but Tillman lives in Sarasota, but Anderson's also been involved in other deals as well. So that's one thing that you have to take into consideration with him when it comes to being a GM, but that's not just the only thing that GMs do. So I feel like if he did become a GM with the Orioles, he would put some more people in his organization who are, you know, sabermetric friendly, that are people who understand the numbers but also understand the baseball aspect of it as well.
All right, well, Kyle, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it, and hopefully we can have you back on throughout the season to talk Orioles.
Sounds great. I definitely am looking forward to it.
Okay, everybody, that does it for this episode of Locked On Orioles. I want to thank Kyle for joining us, and I want to invite you to listen to our next episode in which author Jeremy Lehrman will join us to talk about Orioles MVPs of the past.